But it's really an example of how when you see the world more completely and get beyond the limitations that your filters stick you with, the whole emotion can drop away when you see it more accurately. That's what I learned 40 years ago, and I've been using that knowledge ever since, because I, you know, constantly find whenever I get angry, or used to get angry, that there was always holes in my filters that I didn't know about. And when I dug in very quickly, I could find them, and then boom, it's like the anger's not there anymore.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back. This is the Limitless Living Show with Chuck Anderson, and this is the show where we like to showcase stories of personal transformation and overcoming limitations that will help you to overcome whatever might be limiting you, whatever might be holding you back, so you can live a happier, more joyous, more fulfilling life as soon as possible. And you know, I'm blessed with wonderful guests that are not only have their own story, but are engaged in work to help people write their stories as well. And today's guest is no exception. He's written 33 books. Hopefully I got that right, and probably more. And an expert at not anger management, but anger elimination. And I know I've had my own relationship with anger and how it has been a limiting factor in my journey. And so I'm very happy today to have Dr. Mort Orman on the show today. So, Mort, welcome. I'm so happy that you're here.
Thanks for having me, Chuck. It's a pleasure.
I've been looking forward to this for a while. And, you know, so, Mort, I think the best place to start is just tell everybody, you know, your story, and we'll go from there.
Well, like you said, anger used to limit me a lot too when I was younger, particularly my 20s and 30s. As I went through college and medical school and medical training, I had a lot of anger. So a lot of it was directed at myself, but also lashed out at other people. I tell people that if they ever saw John McEnroe play tennis, and you know how he would get volatile and angry on the court, I took up tennis too around the same time he was in his prime, and I couldn't play tennis as well as him, but I could smash a racket around and yell and scream just as well as he could. And so I had all this anger, and I couldn't control it, and it was really limiting. All my relationships with women failed, one after another, largely because of the anger. And I even professionally, I would get angry at my patients. I would get angry at my relatives and family members, and it just didn't feel good. You know, I wasn't happy about it. I felt out of control. I felt like I kept trying to solve the problem. How can I stop being angry? And I tried all the standard stuff and it didn't work, or maybe it helped a little bit, but then every day I'd wake up, I'm the same angry guy, you know? So it was a big limiting thing for me. Oops, what happened? You there?
Yeah, I'm still there, but your camera doesn't.
Oh, I turned my camera off somehow.
Yeah. There you are. You're back. Well, no problem. The magic of editing will fix that.
So, yeah. So, and if you'd asked me back then in my mid-30s, let's say, did I ever envision having a life without anger? I would have said, I don't think that's in the cards for me. You know, I think that's just part of me. That's part of my personality. I've been this way for a long time. Tried everything I can think of to erase it, you know, get rid of it. Nothing worked, so it's got to be permanent, you know, and that's literally what I believed. But at the same time, it was funny. At the same time, I'm taking care of patients. So you, as a doctor, you can easily identify the patients who are a little more on the angry side than those who aren't, right? And then you see what happens over time. It's like a little experiment, and you see what happens to the angry people, and you see they get more heart attacks, they get more strokes, they get divorced more often, they get addicted to alcohol and drugs more often, and the kids hate them, you know, after a while. So you see all this horrible stuff as a doctor, and then you're sitting there with your own anger, and which you don't know how to deal with, in other words, they never taught you how to deal with in medical school. And I kept saying to myself, I got to do something about this, you know, because I don't want to end up like a lot of my patients are now. Of course, they were much older than I was, but so I was still young at the time. But that got me into personal development work, and it was through a couple years of personal development where I cobbled together stuff from different disciplines that I had studied. And eventually I came up with something that shocked the hell out of me. It worked so well. And I was literally able to, for the first time, get my hands on the controls of where the anger was coming from, quickly was able to get rid of it. Quickly, over a period of a year or so, I was able to figure out how to get rid of it. And then the last 40 years of my life, I've had very little anger at all. And if I do get angry, I know exactly where it's coming from. I know how to make it go away. It's like, it's been really nice, you know, not having to live with all that anger that I used to have. And the other people in my life are happy that they don't have to put up with my anger either. So, yeah, so it's been really great. So that's the trend. For me, it was a transformation that happened 40 years ago where I finally figured out what was going on and made all the difference in the world. And that's what I'm teaching people to do now.
Yeah, and I love that. And so many of our conversations involve someone having their own personal breakthrough, and then as a result of that breakthrough, then going, okay, well, this is so amazing. I need to help others with have the same breakthrough.
And particularly as a doctor, I felt even more compelled to do that because I knew the impact on people's health. Mm. And I knew this is not a skill set that most doctors have. You know, to help people, they know anger is not good, but they don't know how to teach their patients how to not be angry. And when I figured out how to do that, I said, this is something I have to contribute as much as I can into the world because it's a major health factor. If you talk about preventive medicine, you know, what we call preventive medicine today is early disease detection, actually. If you want to truly prevent people from getting high blood pressure and strokes and heart attacks, you got to help them, you know, with things like anger and stress and with eating a proper diet and getting good rest and all that kind of stuff. But those are skills that most doctors aren't strong in, you know, teaching their patients how to do.
Mm-hmm. Well, and with anger, I found that so much of everything, it was a reaction to what was happening around me. And, you know, for me, if I was to unpack it a little bit, it actually ended up being a fear of not feeling like I was in control of my life. But
absolutely.
But I look around and I would react to something that I didn't like, whether it be traffic or you mentioned relationships. Absolutely. Yep. Parenting.
But what you just said and the way you said it reveals the problem that most people have and that I had back when I was in my 20s and 30s. Mm-hmm. It looks like it's the things you're seeing that are directly causing the anger, like a direct cause effect, one causes two. And I had that same, that's the common sense model because we all have that experience. We see something that angers us, we feel the anger immediately, it looks like that caused that, one caused two. What I found out 40 years ago, that it's not a 1-2 process. It's 1-2-3-4, with four being the anger, one being the thing you see, and there's two steps in the middle that are invisible. Most people don't even know they're there, much less what they are. Mm-hmm. And I didn't know what they were 30, 40 years ago, or back when I was in 20s and 30s. But once I found out, that's what gave me the power to finally step in and do something about my anger. Because I really discovered how I was generating it inside me and inside my brain, which I didn't know before. Because you can't feel these invisible causes. You can't see them. You can't sense them. But they're there. And without them, you wouldn't get the anger. For example, if you could be standing next to a friend and both witnessing the exact same event, and one of you will might get angry, the other one won't. So that tells you right there, it can't be the event by itself. Mm-hmm. Something else has to be going on inside us before we get the anger. And it's going on in the one person who got angry, and it's not going on in the person who didn't get angry. So it's the internal causes that are really where the action is. And most of us have not been educated to even understand that that's the case, that it's four steps, not two, okay? Mm-hmm. Or another way to say that is like there's three causes, not one, okay, mm-hmm. Before you get to the anger. And then what the heck are those internal causes, you know, is the more important question, which is what I was able to discover and what I teach people now.
I really love what you just said, because without really understanding that, it feels like there's only two steps. Like I could have, at my peak, I could have gone to from zero to angry in a heartbeat.
Yes. And it is reactive.
It doesn't feel like there's multiple steps leading to it.
It is knee-jerk reactive, just like that. But what's getting triggered is not just one thing. It's three things. Just two of them are invisible. You don't see them, but they're happening lightning fast, and they come right after another, and it's happened to the second and third ones are happening inside our brain and inside our body, mm-hmm. and we haven't been educated properly. I mean, it's really a crime that we haven't been, but we haven't.
Yeah, it's not one of those things that there's no class in high school.
Yeah.
When we're going through that, I don't remember my parents sitting down and having a conversation with me about anger. In fact, quite the opposite. I probably learned some of my behaviors by watching my father and my grandfather, my uncles, and
it's funny you mentioned that. Last week I did a podcast just like this. Mm-hmm. It was with a husband and wife team that do a husband and wife podcast, and we talked about my anger book, and they had gotten it, and they had lots of questions. We had a really good conversation, and after the recording was over, we were just chatting afterwards. It turns out they live like 3 hours away from me, which I didn't know. And they have six kids. And they invited me to come to their house over the weekend, which I did last Saturday. I went to their house and I did like a 4-hour workshop for the husband, the wife, and the six kids.
Oh, wow.
Teaching them the same principles that I teach everybody in my 10-session anger program and that I wrote about in the book. And it was wonderful. The whole family got a whole new understanding of anger. They all now know that it's four steps, not two. They know what the hidden causes are. And we were able to play with that. We were able to look at examples when they had gotten angry at each other, or the kids got angry at the parents, or the parents got angry at the kids. And they were able to see the whole thing, you know, in real time. And it was wonderful. And it was a great intervention for the family, you know, that now they all have the same new understanding of anger that they can work with if they ever get angry at each other or at themselves or anything like that. It's like, I would love to do that all the time if I could, you know, if there were enough people that were interested in doing that. But that, it's powerful stuff when you can expose a whole family to that kind of, like I say, your parents never sat down and told you, well, these parents invited me to come down and sit with their kids because they realized how valuable this was to expose their kids to it. And the kids really took to it very well. They liked it.
Yeah, that's brilliant. And so proactive. I mean, you know, we have three teenagers in this house, and of course they have their own personalities and behaviors. Many of them learned and developed and grown by all of their experiences, including what they see from me and my spouse. You know, it's you know, my own relationship with journey is relationship with anger is a journey. I'm much better than I was 30 years ago.
Well, I'll tell you, when you get my book, your whole viewpoint on anger will be completely and permanently changed. You will have so much insight into anger. You'll be in the top 0.1111% or whatever of the world in terms of understanding anger. I'll tell you what I did. I have this. I go for a walk every morning outside my house. It's a very quiet residential neighborhood. So I go for a half mile walk. I go a quarter of a mile, turn around, come back. And about a block before I turn around, there's a bus stop for the middle school. And there's usually like five or six kids that are waiting for the bus every day. And I go by them twice every day. I go by them, turn around, go by them again. So the first day that I got my package from Amazon, the first, you know, author copies of my book that I ordered, the next morning I grabbed five of them on my walk. And I did my walk, and there they were on the street. And I handed, as I walked by, I gave each of them a copy of the book. And I said, just here's a gift for you. You don't have to take it if you don't want to. Take a look at it when I come around again. Decide whether, you know, let me know if you want me to take it back or you want to keep it. That's all I said. And then I walked up, turned around, came back. All of them wanted to keep it.
Wow.
So that was, and again, these are middle school kids. So I'm really happy when I can get it in the hands of young people to really have them get these insights at an early age. I think it'll really make a difference. Yeah.
Wow, that is amazing. Well, first of all, you must live around some amazing middle schoolers to be so open and go, give me this. I want to keep that. I love so much about that. Well, let's talk about the book a little bit, because I think one of the takeaways I'm already getting from this, again, is the awareness. I mean, I think you know, first of all, having the awareness that anger happens a little, you know, that there are multiple steps that are happening, and also the limitations and that it causes in life. We've talked about negative health consequences. We've talked about negative relationship consequences.
Absolutely.
It can hurt your business, your clients, you know, your finances. There's so many ways anger
can get you killed if you get angry at the wrong person at the wrong time.
Well, you look at road rage and all of that kind of stuff, right? Like we can see things escalating. And I drive near some people who could probably use a copy of your book.
You know, a lot of negative consequences from anger. And I talk about unwanted anger because there are, we need to, you know, there are times when anger can be helpful, can be beneficial, can be useful. Mm-hmm. So it's not that all anger you want to get rid of, but the anger that's likely to cause problems in your life or cause damage to your health or your relationships or your kids or whatever, that's the kind of anger I think most of us want to get rid of. Or the kind that makes us feel like we're out of control and we don't like that and makes us feel bad, and or it lingers, you know, and it disturbs our sleep, and we keep ruminating about it and wish we had done something different or whatever. It's like that kind of stuff that I'm encouraging people to realize they don't have to put up with that anymore. They can get rid of that if they want to. Mm-hmm.
So talk a little bit about the book. I mean, what can people expect? What kind of journey will it take them on? And maybe a few tips that you have can help people on their
journey. Well, the book is called Dr. Orman's Life-Changing Anger Cure. And it's really based on the 10-session coaching program that I've been doing for a number of years and what I've been teaching for 40 years. And I decided to put it all into a book. And so that people can literally pick up a book and they don't have to go through the coaching program. The only thing I couldn't do is, you know, work on individual anger examples, personal examples with each person, which I can do in the coaching program. But anyhow, so the first two, there's six parts. The first part, I talk about how all the anger I had when I was younger and how it messed up a lot of things in my life. And then the second part is how I made the transformation that I talked about. It had many pieces to it and many things developed over time. So I lay that all out. And then in the third section, I really talk a lot about the hidden causes, the ones that we don't normally see. And it's really not that complicated. I mean, the basic premise is we don't see the world as it is, or as things happen, because our brains are always filtering things. So they're not giving us a totally accurate representation of what's happening because there's so much information being presented to our brains all the time. They have to chunk it down. They have to simplify it, focus on what's important, you know, kind of ignore what's not important. So the filtering process goes on in our brains and we don't notice that it's happening, but the brain's leaving a lot of stuff out. And sometimes it can be distorting things, making them look differently than they actually are. But anyhow, so there's three main filters that the three ways of looking at life that are needed to get angry. If you're not looking at life these ways, you're not going to get angry. So I finally figured out what those three filters are. The first one is that you got to see something as being somebody doing something bad or wrong or that they shouldn't be doing. Okay. Because we don't get angry. Notice we don't get angry if we think somebody's doing something wonderful or terrific or fantastic. It's only when we look at it negatively, they shouldn't be doing that. And then the second filter is that there was some hurt or harm or some negative impact on us or somebody else as a result of the bad behavior. And then the third filter is we look at the person who did the bad thing and we blame them for what they did and the hurt and harm that they chose. So the filter is a very narrow blame filter where we only focus on their behavior. We don't see any other causes that might have been involved, including our behavior or other things in their lives that might have been involved. So we've got these three filters that are kind of like having blinders on where the things that are coming through are not the whole story, but it looks like the whole story. And if you think it's the whole story and you think it's true, then your body starts producing the chemicals and the hormones that produce the emotion of anger. Now, if you're experiencing anxiety, it's another set of filters that are different. If you're experiencing guilt, it's another set of filters. So each emotion has its own set of how you have to be looking at life to get that emotion, okay? But so with anger, it's three very simple filters. And people should literally, from this discussion, they should write these down. Somebody did something bad and wrong they shouldn't have done. Write that down. Somebody was hurt, harmed, negatively impacted. Write that down. Somebody was unilaterally or 100% responsible or to blame. Write that down. That's where anger comes from. It doesn't come from what you're watching, what you're viewing. It comes from these filters getting triggered inside of you and you believing that they're true. Okay? And that gives you the emotion. Now, what's interesting, if you know that and you start digging into that a little bit, you'll find that a lot of the times the filters have holes in them. You know, they're missing things. They have blind spots. They're pieces of the puzzle that your filter didn't let through. And it's giving you kind of a distorted view of what happened, which is what's fueling your anger. And when you can fill in those gaps, when you can figure out what, you know, the pieces that you're missing or the parts that you're missing, and you get to see the reality of what happened more broadly and more completely, a lot of times it's like, whoa, there was really nothing to be angry about here. I see the whole situation differently now. just to give you one example, my wife and I, I'm about to celebrate our 40th wedding anniversary, and trust me, that would not have happened had I not figured this out 40 years ago. You know, when I told you about all those were all relationship failures. I finally figured out in time. But anyhow, so by the time we got married, I didn't have a lot of anger. She never had a lot of anger. So we never had a lot of anger in our relationship. Okay. But in the beginning, there was this one oddball situation where we would get angry with each other. And it was so rare for us that once it happened once or twice, it stuck out like a sore thumb. And what it was it would only happen if we were going on a car trip somewhere for like a weekend or something like that. And it wouldn't happen. We wouldn't argue when we were on our way to wherever we were going. We wouldn't fight while we were there. It was only on the drive home. So I would usually be driving. And at some point my wife would say, oh, there's something over here. It's only like an hour off of our path. Let's go over there and see it. And I would go, no, we're not doing that. And she would go, what do you mean? No, we're not doing that. I said, no, we're not doing that. You know, and I have this tone, you know, and she would rightfully be upset with me for being upset with her, and it would go back and forth. And then after it happened a couple of times, I said, wait a second, I gotta figure out what's going on here. Something's fishy here. And so I looked at the three filters and I said, am I judging her to be doing something bad and wrong? Yes. You know, I think, you know, deviating from the direct route home is bad and wrong. And then when I asked myself, is that really true? Is she really doing something bad and wrong? It took me like 5 seconds to realize, not really. It's not technically bad and wrong. It's just different than how I'm used to doing it, how our family did it. And once I saw that, I saw like, gee, you know, I really kind of blamed her for like committing a crime when in truth, she just had a different preference for how she wanted to do things. And it wasn't true that she was doing anything bad or wrong. As soon as I saw that, it ended the problem because I saw what was going on. I had falsely judged her for doing something wrong when in fact she wasn't. So the reality of the situation, my filter told me she was doing something wrong. The reality was I saw that, no, she wasn't. You know, she was just doing something different than how I would do it. And as soon as I saw that from that point on, it was like anytime she wanted to deviate from the path home, I said, sure, honey, if that's what you want to do, let's go do that. Because I didn't see it the same way anymore. It didn't trigger me anymore because I wasn't seeing it as a wrongdoing. I was seeing it more accurately that it was just a different preference for how she wanted to do things. And, it was fine with me, you know, to let her have her way and help her have what she wanted in those situations. But it's just an example. It's really an example of how when you see the world more completely and get beyond the limitations that your filters stick you with, the whole emotion can drop away when you see it more accurately. That's what I learned 40 years ago. And I've been using that knowledge ever since because I, you know, constantly find whenever I get angry or used to get angry that there was always holes in my filters that I didn't know about. And when I dug in very quickly, I could find them and then boom, it's like the anger's not there anymore.
Mm-hmm. You know, I love so much about this. And I know that in the moment when anger is present, I'm not really thinking and analyzing about it.
Correct.
But in a quiet moment, like right now,
yes,
we can logically think, oh, when that happened, that's what was really happening. I reacted because I thought this thing was happening, but that's not really what was happening.
Yes.
And so I think giving ourselves those quiet moments to reflect on why it's happening sounds like is.
And that's why I recommend people write those three filters down, like on an index card or a post-it note or something like that. And yeah, you're right. It's hard to do in the moment when you're angry. But when you get some time to yourself and you know that you were angry, if you know you're angry, those three filters had to be activated. Again, you can't feel them, but you have to know that they were, or you wouldn't have gotten angry. And then you can assume that they were, and then you start asking questions. Is this true? Is this true? Is this true? And if you really be honest with yourself and you dig in, you may find, ooh, I really did, you know, jump to a conclusion here, or I was maybe missing some critical information here. And then you may want to go back and apologize to the person you got angry with and say, hey, you know, I'm sorry I got angry with you. I didn't realize I was looking at things in the wrong way, or I misjudged the situation, and I now see that, and it's on me, and I want to apologize, you know, and that's good for relationships.
Oh, it sounds very powerful. Yeah. And I know there's times where I was not acting appropriately in a relationship, and it was those quiet moments and that reflection that really helped me to see, hey, really, I really shouldn't do that. And it's not really what I thought it was anyways.
Right? And, you know, the other person knows. You're sitting there judging them through your filters. They don't know what your filters are. They just know that you're judging them incorrectly. So they feel like you're wrong, and well, you don't know it. Mm-hmm. But they know the truth about them or the situation, whatever it is you're judging them for. And so they know you've falsely accused them. And so they're going to get angry back at you, because now, you know, you're doing something bad wrong in their mind, all right? And that triggers their whole.
And rightly so, because we are doing something bad and wrong.
Yeah.
In that case. Very powerful, Mort. And I know that, you know, we're almost up on our time here. I want to talk a little bit about your free gift, because I know you have a free gift that can help people. And, you know, we talk about taking next steps, and the only way to really transform is to take a step towards transformation.
Yep.
And I think your free gift can really help along those lines.
Yeah. So I've got a PDF handout that you can get. It's called The Best Anger Elimination Method You Can Find. It talks about the method we've been talking about here. It also talks a little bit about my 10-session coaching program, and then a little bit about the book at the end and how they can get the book if they want to. It also gets them on my email list, and all they have to do is go to theangersolution.org, theangersolution.org. They can download that. They'll get the PDF. They'll get on my email list, and they can, if they want to communicate with me, they can do it that way. And that's probably the best way. Mm-hmm.
Perfect. Well, we have a link to that. If you're watching this on video, there's a link just beneath this video that you can click. And if you're listening to this on podcast, just click into the player where you're listening right now. And there are links there to Mort's website, his books, and whatever else we felt like putting in there. You're going to see some all sorts of resources. So, that is a great next step to take. If you got value from what you heard here today, take that next step and start going through, the questions and the processes that Mort's been talking about here today. This has been amazing. I've learned so much. And, you know, again, like, I have my own relationship with anger, so I can super relate to everything that you're talking about. If we're going to sort of like leave everybody here today with a final thought or words of wisdom, what would you leave them here with today?
Well, I'd leave them with the sign that's right behind you, the yes, you can. Because a lot of times we have this mistaken idea that, you know, if you've got anger, like you say, and you haven't been able to get rid of it, and you've tried stuff, you'll be like where I was, where I didn't believe that there was anything that could really make a difference, or that I had the power within me to stop being an angry person. But we are, and we can, again, if we just have the right framework for understanding it, which is what I'm trying to teach people now, so that it can unleash that. You know, Tony Robbins talked about unleash the power within. Well, you can unleash this anger champion within you, which is, it's already there. It's just you haven't never been given the right understanding of where the anger is coming from, so that you could take charge and use the power that you have. So it really is a yes, you can situation, and it's important to not get caught in the opposite belief, which will then keep you trapped, because you won't take any steps to do anything. You won't download the free report. You won't read the book. You won't do the things that you need to do to find out, oh, with this information, now I can, you know, and you'll be depriving yourself of that opportunity. And then you have to think about the consequences that anger is going to play in your life going forward, that you didn't have to suffer, because you could have gotten rid of it if you'd have just exposed yourself to this kind of a powerful set of models.
Absolutely. And yes, you can, and believe that you can. And if it's time to transform your life, if it is time to make a change so you can get on to more joy, more happiness, more fulfillment in your life, better relationships, better health, all of the things that can help your life be better than it ever was, then it's all of that. It's what we talked about here today for the last 25 minutes. It's yes, you can. It's all of that. And I think it's great words to end this episode by. So I invite you to take an action today. And if there was nothing else that you learned here today, then just go get the free gift and do whatever that free gift tells you to do. And in the meantime, keep moving forward, keep taking steps towards the transformation and the life that you want to live. And so I want to thank our guest for being here. I want to thank Dr. Mort Orman for his wonderful insights. So in the meantime, this has been Chuck Anderson with the Limitless Living Show. Go out there and live your own story of transformation and overcoming limitations, and then meet us back here for the next episode. Thanks, everybody.